Join me in John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 53 through 69. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. What a startling statement or paragraph here that I have just read. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. If we were ones who would create our theology at the verse level, I could teach cannibalism. But we do not. We build our theology at the book level. But imagine how the Jewish population who were hearing these words responded to this. Remember all the food restrictions that the Old Testament taught. These people were still living in those food restrictions. And so when Jesus said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood," the Jewish people were to have nothing to do with blood. But yet here he is saying, if you want to have life, you want to have anything to do with me at all, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What startling statements. Even his own disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" I mean, he didn't. As we have read, many, many turned away and followed him no longer. Will we turn away? Have we turned away in some aspect? When we find these challenging, hard statements, will we turn away? And why? Why did so many turn away? Why could they not accept the truthful yet challenging words of true, true discipleship? Why did they turn away? Because they were living in what Jesus would refer to as the flesh. They were living in their own wisdom. They were living in their own rationale. They were living in their own thinking. They were trying to comprehend what Jesus was saying using their own wisdom and intelligence, rather than submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus says very clearly here, these are the words of the Spirit, and we must live in the Spirit. But let us not look too harshly at these in the first century. How many today are guilty of turning away from the hard, challenging passages, the hard, challenging statements? When we try ourselves to comprehend this word in our own wisdom, in our own intellect, there are those who would say, well, we understand it differently than that. I've had that conversation. Or this, well, that's not what it means today. You see, mankind is so much wiser today than these who spoke in the first century. We understand that's really not what they meant. See, again, we're subjecting holy text to our rationale, our thinking, rather than, as I've said many times, being that whiteboard and allowing the Holy Spirit to write upon our hearts the meaning and intent, even the most challenging, hard-to-handle statements. And folks, we have to give up our biased interpreting methods, our limited rationale of human thinking, and rely solely upon the Holy Spirit, praying daily, Holy Spirit, write upon my heart what these words are portraying, that I might come to understand them just as Jesus is intending them. Jesus says very clearly, it is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. If we are not submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, if we're not praying, Holy Spirit, come and write on my heart the meaning of this text, then we are as guilty as these, as Jesus refers to, living in the flesh. So how do we do this? How do we submit to the work of the Spirit? How do we move out of that fleshly living into that Spirit living so that this word would be written upon my heart in a way just as Jesus meant it? How do we do that ultimately? Jesus said in another place, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will therefore produce many seeds. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The way of Jesus Christ and leaving fleshly thinking behind is the way of death. Dying to selfish self and living in the Spirit is the way of the cross. Those who heard Jesus that day were not willing to die to self, giving up their expectations. They were not willing to sacrificially live for Jesus Christ. They were not willing to put themselves on that cross. They tried to fit Jesus and his teaching into their understanding, into their thinking and teaching. And when they could not rationalize, when they could not understand, when they could not make sense of eating flesh and drinking blood in that spiritual manner, they turned away. They turned away. Will we turn away? And I admit, most of us, if not all of us in this room, are Christians. And so you would say, Pastor Tim, I haven't turned away. But see, we can still turn away from aspects of the teaching while hanging on to our Christianity. Just as I've said, there are those who would live a Christian life, but in a certain part of the text, they would say, well, I just don't believe that's what it means today. I don't believe Jesus would expect that of us today. As I've said before, our psychological thinking today and our teaching and sociology and all those other disciplines, they would say, well, mankind is so much more intelligent today. We understand the dynamic of the human nature much, much more than what they did back then. And so we're able to say, well, you know, that doesn't work. Folks, that's turning away. That's turning away from the challenging text, the challenging meaning of what Jesus Christ has taught. Being a true believer will involve the way of the cross, dying to self and living in the Spirit, living in Jesus Christ. Being a true believer means remaining true to Jesus when he and his words are dismissed by others. Being a true believer means following him when his words are hard to accept and hard to understand and even harder to apply. Being a true believer means following sacrificially when his teachings contradict our own thinking. Being a true believer means being true when the crowds turn away and you find yourself alone, or at least a part of a small, ostracized community. Being a true believer means maintaining a loyalty to Jesus Christ when the ones closest to us have turned away. As I said, the way of Jesus Christ is the way of a cross. We must deny ourselves and take up that cross and follow, and following him through the challenges, following him through the trials, even when the Lord Jesus Christ does not shield us from the pain of following that truth. The way of Jesus Christ, as we've read in other places, is like a two-edged sword. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It is meant to prune us so that we would grow and mature. But it is also meant to lop off and separate and segregate the truth from the non-truth. Following Jesus Christ and a true believer means that we follow his teaching many times when we feel like we're walking there alone. When those closest to you turn away. Throughout the Gospels, as Jesus Christ began his ministry with the miracles and the feeding of the thousands and thousands were coming. He was attracting many until he started talking about the cross. When he began talking about the cross, the crowd got smaller and smaller and smaller, till here he is now only relating these truths to the 12. And even the 12 dismissed him at the cross. And he was there alone. Jesus Christ and following him is the way of the cross. Jesus asked the question, does this offend you? When we talk about, truly I say to you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there's no life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drink... Lord, that sounds kind of weird. Is this offensive? In the original language, the question might be better rendered, does this cause you to sin? Do these words cause you to sin? What Jesus is saying, when you turn away, does this mean that you're rejecting me? And when you reject Christ by turning away, then that's sin. And that's what Jesus is asking. Does the difficulty of the teaching cause you to sin because you've turned away and you've rejected Christ? And again, I say this by we're maintaining our Christianity, but there's just parts of it I can't handle. That's rejecting Christ, and that's sin. Their hearts were hardened. Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. There's a phrase that we use for Christianity. This is no easy believism. We know these are not easy words. They are not meant to be. They are not meant to be inclusive. They are meant to be somewhat restrictive. Yes, Christianity is open to anyone, to everyone, slave, free, Jew, Gentile. All are welcome, but the life of a Christian is not open to an easy believism. It is not open to an easy lifestyle. When you look at that cross, and we say Christianity is the way of the cross, there are no good thoughts that come when we speak of Christianity in that way. Of course, Jesus did not mean literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But he meant that you must consume all of me. You must consume all of me. You must consume all of the teaching. You must consume all of the commandments. You must consume all that is the ministry of which he is revealed, that is revealed in Holy Text. There's not a, I'll take this and I'll leave that. It's all of it. By the way, Kaylee's here. Glad to have him. And see, that's the challenging part. And I ask you, have we died to self, giving up everything to follow Christ? Do we feast upon the blood and the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is this just too difficult to accept? And again, I am meaning Christianity as a whole. The whole text, the whole capacity of Scripture. We must accept it all. Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave also? You know, Simon Peter's had his time of his rebellion, but then also the great sermon of Acts chapter 2. But here Simon Peter showed that he was responding to Jesus Christ in the Spirit. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. That should be our same confession. If I turned away, Lord, where would I go? To whom would I follow? You have the words of eternal life. I will find it nowhere else in the world. So where would I go? Where would we go? Will we turn away? I acknowledge, and I hope you would profess and confess the same thing, that no, we will not turn away. We are here today to feast upon this table. We are here today to feast upon the body, the flesh, and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will not turn away. And we will accept the entire capacity of Holy Scripture and pray, Holy Spirit, write on my heart the exact meaning that you meant that day it was written, it was spoken. And let me not buy into the lies of our society today and take this word and subject it to my thinking and go, well, you know, I think it really means this. Or no, we don't accept that this way. No. Let me profess and confess exactly what Jesus Christ has written, has given in Holy Text. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. That's why we're here today. To worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but to feed on him so that we might have, so that we would have, eternal life. Let us pray together. Father, these are indeed challenging words. But Holy Spirit, come and write upon our hearts the meaning the Lord Jesus Christ gave this day. He spoke the words. And as we come around this table, eating upon the flesh and drinking upon the blood, oh Lord, thank you that doing this, we acknowledge that we have eternal life and that we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and he in us. And just as the Father sent the Son and he lived, so we too will live in the Son. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.